This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. The headlines are getting more and more dire. The Hill's headline reads, "Trump gets surprise boost with young voters amid Biden disillusionment." The report says the New York Times Siena College survey finds Trump leading Biden among registered voters under 30. NBC's political correspondent, Steve Kornacki, told NBC's Meet the Press the network's latest national poll shows Trump beating Biden by 2 points. Quote, "In 2019, 2020, when Trump was president, he trailed Biden in all of NBC's polls. This is the first time in more than a dozen polls we've seen a result like this," unquote. The Politico headline is even more dire. "Trump tops Biden head-to-head by 4 points in new poll." That Wall Street Journal poll, said Politico, reports, quote, "a general dissatisfaction among voters with Biden. Only 23% of respondents said his policies had helped them personally, while 53% said they had been hurt by his policies. Only 37% approved of Biden's job performance, while 61% expressed unfavorable views of the president," unquote. And then there was this from the wild-eyed Mika Brzezinski of NBC's Morning Joe.
"Turn now to new polling of a hypothetical 2024 election matchup that shows Donald Trump beating President Joe Biden in 7 swing states, including 6 won by the sitting president in 2020. According to the new numbers from Morning Consult and Bloomberg, Trump holds a 4-point lead over Biden in Arizona, a 6-point lead in Georgia, 4 points in Michigan, 3 points in Nevada, 2 points in Pennsylvania, 4 points in Wisconsin. Those in addition to a 9-point lead for Trump in North Carolina, a state he won by less than a point in 2020. The new survey also shows Trump with a 7-point victory across all those battleground states when third-party candidates are included on the ballot."
You can tell by the look on her face, it was taking every ounce of self-control to keep from screaming. Biden's inflationary spending that's given us high food costs, coupled with high energy prices resulting from his anti-fossil fuel policies, has Americans decidedly worse off than they were under, well, President Donald J. Trump. It's like they say, happiness isn't something you experience, it's something you remember. 4 years of bad times has only sweetened memories of Trump among Americans of all stripes. This is why a staple of Democratic Party demagoguery, identity politics, isn't working for the jackass party in 2024. Biden administration pain has united blacks, Hispanics, and the middle class equally. It was once understood that equality united Americans under freedom. But Democrats have succeeded in uniting Americans through economic misery. With Biden's political fortunes collapsing, efforts to stop Trump by legal means continues. In a clearly partisan move, Democratic appointees to the Colorado Supreme Court ruled that Trump's name be removed from that state's Republican primary ballot because, in their view, he committed an act of insurrection by condemning the stolen election of 2020, thus inspiring protests at the U.S. Capitol building on January 6th of 2021. They hung their ruling on Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment. The provision prohibits former Confederate officials from ever holding office in the U.S. government. As far as I know, Trump never served in the rebel government of Jefferson Davis. But the 14th Amendment, Section 1, does say, quote, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, or deny any person within its jurisdiction the legal protection of the laws," unquote. No defendant associated with the peaceful J6 protest was charged with insurrection, least of all convicted of it. and that certainly holds true for Trump. The Colorado ruling denies Trump his constitutional right to due process of law. So, what's really behind the ruling? Well, the Colorado Supreme Court said it was about Trump speaking freely. Quote, "In his speech, which began around noon, President Trump persisted in rejecting the election results, telling his supporters that we won in a landslide and we will never concede. He urged his supporters to confront this egregious assault on democracy, walk down to the Capitol, and show strength, and that if they did not fight like hell, they would not have a country anymore." Unquote. Like most on the left, the Colorado court believes those who insist, like Trump, that the 2020 presidential election was stolen are insurrectionists. But House Speaker Mike Johnson's release of the January 6 Capitol Hill security tapes clearly show protesters remain calm and peaceful while protesting the fraudulent selection of Joe Biden as the nation's 46th president. It's very likely the Colorado Supreme Court's egregious example of judicial overreach will attract the attention of the U.S. Supreme Court, which has a record of striking down acts of judicial activism, such as its 2022 Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade. Law professor and constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley told Fox News he believes the Colorado ruling, quote, "puts this on a rocket docket for the U.S. Supreme Court," unquote. According to Turley, quote, "In order to establish he, Trump, was engaged in an insurrection, they go back to speeches in 2016 and basically daisy-chain these speeches to say, look, he's been at this for a long time. I think the factual and legal basis of this opinion is really so porous that the Supreme Court will make fast work of it," unquote. The nation owes Trump a debt of gratitude. The Trump presidency showed that the U.S. Justice Department, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the FBI, and the CIA are partisan shills for the Democratic Party. Their coordination in the fake Russia collusion operation against the highest elected official in the land proved that beyond all doubt. The Trump presidency also showed that limited strategic takedowns like those of Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and Iran's terror strategist Qasem Soleimani go a long way in preventing broader conflicts like the pointless U.S. interventions in Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Ukraine. The Trump presidency also showed the corruption of our politicized judicial system, which refused to hear evidence of election rigging in the 2020 presidential contest. A corrupt court now seeks to remove Trump from his party's ballot in Colorado, robbing the state's Republicans of their franchise. These moves belie all the caterwauling about Trump threatening American democracy. Democracy's been under assault by the authoritarian Democratic Party machine since Trump took the oath of office on January 20, 2017. Now, Trump's 2024 presidential candidacy provides Americans an opportunity to defy the Democrat election interference apparatus by overwhelming it at the ballot box. Trump's rising polls explains the desperation from the protectors of America's corrupt system, a system whose corruption became evident with the stolen election of 2020. Democrats and their media friends tell us to please stop saying that such a charge undermines faith in our institutions. They also claim charges of election fraud have been debunked, that unverified mail-in ballots are nearly impossible to tamper with. But recent voter fraud cases in Connecticut and Georgia prove otherwise. The disinformation campaign to define J6 demonstrators as insurrectionists was designed to distract us from the issue of voter fraud, in the same way Trump's first impeachment was designed to distract us from Hunter and Joe Biden's corrupt business deals in Ukraine. Democrats and never-Trump Republicans are united in their fear of and contempt for Trump and the MAGA movement. And the Colorado Supreme Court shows they'll stop at nothing to prevent Trump serving a second term. But these assaults against Trump are clearly backfiring, and his lead continues to grow over Joe Biden and America's corrupt and rigged system. An often heard criticism of former President Donald Trump is that he lacks tact and is quick to attack his critics. That criticism usually comes from those on the receiving end of his jibes in politics, the press, and entertainment. In short, Trump doesn't put up with anyone's crap. GOP presidential candidate and former UN ambassador Nikki Haley says she's appalled by Trump's candid language. When Trump recently told a crowd in Iowa that the flood of illegal aliens crossing our southern border are, quote, destroying the blood of our country, unquote, the media said Trump was quoting directly from Nazi leader Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. Haley told reporters Trump's language is, quote, not helpful, it's not constructive, it's not necessary, unquote. But Trump is right. Unrestricted illegal immigration will change the complexion of the nation through the importation of those whose values do not comport with those of Western, let alone American, civilization. All one can do is look at the ugly anti-Semitic pro-Hamas demonstrations by Muslim immigrants that threaten Jews on university campuses and on our city streets. But you will never hear the media make the same Hitler comparisons for them that they do for Trump. What Trump is saying, and the media and Democrats hate, is that diversity is not an American strength. Assimilation is. Like Nikki Haley and her fellow also-rans, the GOP prizes politeness over frank and honest conversations with the American people. Trump may be a billionaire, but his is not the language of the country club. Trump's many years as a Manhattan real estate developer put him in close contact with no-nonsense New York construction workers. Trump has too much respect for hard-working Americans to talk down to them or prattle on like some warmed-over Mr. Rogers. And like them, Trump doesn't suffer fools. Like them, Trump is angered by the erosion of the nation's social and economic fiber that followed in the wake of the stolen presidential election of 2020. Like them, Trump doesn't mince words. As George Orwell said, the greatest enemy of clear language is insincerity. And there's a lot of insincerity masquerading as civility these days. And that insincerity comes from the established leaders in both parties. This explains Trump's contemptuous words for them. It also explains the president's rise in the public's esteem. Straight talk isn't something Americans expect from their politicians. This is why the Pew Research Center finds 7 out of 10 Americans view Congress negatively. Pew also finds that although Republicans view Congress more favorably since the GOP took control of the House in 2020, the attitudes of GOP voters remain, quote, lower than in 2017 and 2018 when Republicans held control of both chambers, unquote. Clearly, Americans in both parties look unfavorably on the current White House occupant and the leaders in both parties, and both still see Trump as a Washington outsider. In November of 2020, what then Fox host Tucker Carlson said of Donald Trump still holds true.
Millions of Americans sincerely love Donald Trump. They love him in spite of everything they've heard. They love him often in spite of himself. They're not deluded. They know exactly who Trump is. They love him anyway. They love Donald Trump because no one else loves them. The country they built, the country their ancestors fought for over hundreds of years, has left them to die in their unfashionable little towns, mocked and despised by the sneering half-wits with finance degrees but no actual skills who seem to run everything all of a sudden. Whatever Donald Trump's faults, he is better than the rest of the people in charge. At least he doesn't hate them for their weakness. Donald Trump, in other words, is and has always been a living indictment of the people who run this country. That was true 4 years ago when Trump came out of nowhere to win the presidency. And it's every bit as true right now, maybe even more true than it's ever been. And it will remain true regardless of whether Donald Trump wins re-election. Trump rose because they failed. It's as simple as that. If the people in charge had done a halfway decent job with the country they inherited, if they'd cared about anything other than themselves, even for just a moment, Donald Trump would still be hosting Celebrity Apprentice. But they didn't. Instead, they were incompetent and narcissistic and cruel and relentlessly dishonest. They wrecked what they didn't build. They lied about it. They hurt anyone who told the truth about what they were doing. That's true. We watched. America is still a great country, the best in the world, but our ruling class is disgusting. A vote for Trump is a vote against them.
That explains why those in power see imprisoning the front runner for the GOP presidential nomination and general election as a top priority. They can't allow the people they hate to have the last word on who leads them. And these average Americans have two choice words for their ruling elites: Donald Trump. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, this is Steve Lopez.